Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I called this, I don't know if I should have called this what I called it, but I called this the path and how to find it. The journey that God has us on, that when he saved us for a purpose. It wasn't simply that I would come to know him and then I would go to heaven, because that's often our prayers sound like that. Lord, thank you that we've come to know you, and thank you we're going to heaven. Folks, there's a whole lot of living before you get to heaven. And that journey of sanctification, that journey where we are going from glory to glory and strength to strength, and being a part of what God is doing on planet Earth, and that we would yield ourselves fully, that we are saved for God's holy purposes. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I'm appealing to you that there are 11 chapters of blessings. Now he said, I pray that you might yield yourself to all of them. And so as the Lord works in our hearts, I write a statement here, is that most of us didn't come to faith in an instant. But it was a series of small steps. I can remember, my sister inviting me. I remember around that same time, somebody gave me a Gideon New Testament, a little red one. You remember those? There was different things that were happening. But little by little, till finally I realized that I needed to be saved. I needed to have a relationship with Christ and to be changed by him, that I must give my life over to him. Wasn't all one. Oh, I heard the gospel and my life has changed forever and ever. No, I began to realize there are purposes as to why he saved me. There are purposes why he saved you. And we spend the rest of our days, folks, this is the most exciting part of our whole lives, is discovering what God wants us to do next. What's the next part of the journey? How does this unfold so that we can be falling into what God has for us? So we discover that we must give over our lives to Christ, to surrender ourselves completely and be on that good path, that good road. Everybody's got the road before you right now. And as I'm speaking, I believe God is speaking to you about you pressing in and yielding yourself that you don't miss anything. I don't want to miss things. You know, we say, well, I was preoccupied with this or with that. So what I've called this the crisis of full surrender. Because I'm sure almost 99% of the people that are here today know Christ as your Savior. You gave your life to him, you repented of your sin, you turned to the Lord Jesus, you asked him to come into your heart, he became into your heart, he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's all good. But the next step of the journey is always the most crucial. It's what I call the crisis of full surrender. What does it take? What does the Lord require for me to go to advance to the next level? This is why I call it the crisis of full surrender, because we often give our money and we say we're going to raise money for the rescue mission, or we're going to raise money for this, and we give our money and we give our time. And we volunteer to help with the church and serve coffee and put away tables. And there's a talk of a mission trip, so we sign up for that and we take a trip. And we labor and only to discover, I don't know what stage in life this actually have, that God doesn't really want my labor or my money. He'll take it if I offer it. But I discovered that what he wants, again, is not my money, not my time, not my talent. What he wants is me. That's what he wants. It's a great breakthrough in this whole journey, this crisis of full surrender. That's what he wants. He said, I could feel him saying, Owen, I can raise up workers in a second. I can provide money in a second. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried, Owen, is about you. It's about, that's what he wants. He wants me. Will he accept my labor? Yes. Will he accept my generosity? Yes, he will. But he wants me. It's you know, it's a lot easier to take a trip or to do something. It's a lot easier to than actually offering yourself in totality. That, Lord, I give all of me to you that you might use all of me, whatever that would be. And so the battle begins. And oh, what a battle. I think the battle of full surrender, you know, there was a battle when you were being drawn to Christ. How many times we've had people tell how they approached the door of our church and should I go in, should I not go in, should I go in, should I not go in? Oh, I wonder if I should go in. I don't know if I should go in or not. Maybe I won't. As the one man told me, he said he always had between 3 to 4 beer before he had enough courage to come in the place. I thought, well, I appreciate his honesty. That's why he's a bit late, you know. Well, I knew there was something there. So it was a struggle because they hadn't even come to the Savior. And, of course, there's like skid marks where your feet are, where I don't want to go to that church. I don't want to go to that church. And we struggle that way. But this other struggle, this main root struggle, is that I give myself to the Lord. The only problem is I usually want it on my terms and the way I want to do it. So this battle begins. There's, first of all, the tug of the Holy Spirit. And as he calls you, I want all of you. I want to say, okay, Lord, I'll be a missionary to where. No, he said, I'm not. You can be a missionary if you want to, but that's not what I'm calling you to. Lord, what is it? I want you. There's that tug. And then there is the tug, that first the tug of the Holy Spirit. Then there is the tug of the world. And that tug of the world, it puts tremendous pressures. You know, people actually will respect you, the fact that you might have given some money toward missions. They respect you, the fact that you have taken some time and you work with the church. And it's respectable. People say, yeah, good, yeah, you guys are really involved with this church. That's really good. That's fine. But they don't want it to be any more than that. That's fine to help out. Everybody should help out a charity. But this tug of the world is, don't become an extremist. Don't go overboard. You must not go overboard. And that voice comes to us, of the world. You see, that's when Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, do not be conformed to the image of this world. That world will pull you away from surrendering fully. And it'll happen to every single person here. There's no exceptions. Sometimes it's conscious of it. Sometimes we're not conscious of it. But that voice that says, oh, careful now. What are they going to think? What are they going to say? You know, take a few classes. Maybe you should go to a prayer meeting on Sunday night. You know, maybe there's something you could do like that. But so this voice of the world telling me not to get carried away. I can remember when I became a Christian, my mother, my British mother, my British Church of England mother, when she wrote to her brother, and her brother said, the church that the kids are going to, is it high church or low church? And my mother wrote back, as only British people can, got the best sarcasm. He's part of a low church. He says, happy clap variety. No, not happy clap. Very worried. How does that look? How do I explain your behavior to my friends and my neighbors? And John knows what I'm talking about because he was raised there. Happy. So we're not immune to that. I don't want to be seen necessarily in that kind of a negative way. So the world pulls you. Don't surrender all. Don't surrender some. Give something. Don't just sit there and watch the events go by if you're like, but to give it all, to surrender all of you, that's kind of gutsy, isn't it? That's kind of radical stuff. Whereas I'm going to tell God he can do whatever he wants with me, when he wants, the way he wants. So that's that voice. The voice of the tug of the Spirit saying, you need to own, surrender all, surrender all. And the voice of the world. And then, of course, there's another voice, the voice of the enemy. It's another voice. And the enemy, of course, he's against everything that has to do with Christ. Don't go overboard, donate some time. But this enemy voice always discourages me and say, you know, you're not cut out for this. This is not required. You don't have to do this. And I have found I've had to rebuke the devil. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to surrender my life to the Lord. But it's something that's thought out as you give your heart over to him and your life over to him. For full really what we're talking about is for full service that God would use us in. So what a crisis. What is this crisis of full surrender? Oh, it goes on. You know, I think it goes on our whole lives in many ways. Just this, for me to say, Lord, I just want to kneel here before you or come before you. I want you to know nothing has changed. When I gave my all to you, I meant it. Now I'm asking you to sustain it. I ask you, Lord, to maintain it. All these things, because I don't want to look back and say, you know, I was a little overboard on that. Maybe I should pull back a little bit so that I wouldn't be seen as odd or excessive in any way. And the hiss of the enemy, right, to say, good, yeah, that's better. That's much better. That was pretty close. He almost sold the farm there. And the devil doesn't want us to do that. He's quite happy to have lukewarm Christians. The devil would love that. That would be fine for him. Where you just, you know, do your thing. Don't do it overboard. And there'll be a reward for you. It's done in the name of the Lord. So this crisis of surrender. So Jesus says, give me your life. All of it. As I walked over here this morning from where I live, I said, Lord, am I fully today? Only you know, Lord, am I fully surrendered? Is there any part of me that I've kept back for Owen? Prestige? What is it, Lord? Is there anything? Because I want to, all that I have, I want to give to all of you. I want to surrender. I just want to make sure that you know that nothing has changed for my life. And so we do that. We offer ourselves. I don't think, when he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, he's expecting something to actually be done. I believe that. And so we give ourselves completely. And then God begins his work within us. Now he has all of me. No resistance. No hesitation. But simply to say, I am yours to do with the way you want, how you want, where it doesn't matter to me. I just don't always know what I'm supposed to do. But whatever it is, I'm your huckleberry. I'm in. I'm surrendering all. Not in the flesh, but just in the spirit of my heart. And then, of course, that as Jesus makes us holy and uses us for his glory, I wrote a little note here. Remember, it is Jesus who makes us holy. It is the Lord that sanctifies. Christ does it all. I am merely to present my body. There's no work on my part except presenting myself. To present yourself to Christ. Not in salvation. I'm already assuming that you're saved. If not, I'd be glad to pray with you if that was your situation. But it's Jesus who makes us holy. It's the Lord who sanctifies. Christ does it all. So this isn't some self-improvement program where you're going to try and rustle up some sanctification and some yieldness to the Lord. No, this we're told to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. I think the audience there in these days, they would have all understand that all the sacrifices were dead. The lambs were slain. But this is a living sacrifice. And it's me that he calls. It's you. He bids me come to die. Really? To die to all my grandiose things that I come up with and all the plans that I have that if he'll only listen to me, I could tell him about my great plans. If somebody said, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And then he will enjoy that thoroughly because his plans are always better. So there, the process, well, let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 here. For I am already being poured out. I don't know if that's in your notes now that I've said that. For I am already, it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. A drink offering. What is that? Well, there was the sacrifice of Christ, and then there was the offering upon the sacrifice. The libation, that's the right word for it, the libation offering. He says, I'm already being poured out. I'm not being poured out like the, as the sacrifice. Christ is the one who sacrificed himself for us. But I'm the offering poured upon the sacrifice. I can't do what Christ came to do for the world, to die for the world and save the world through salvation. That's not what he's asking me. He's asking me to be the libation offering, that I come. Christ did all the work that all that salvation needs to be done has been done by Jesus. And we simply come, pour me out. Pour me out upon the offering. All that Christ did, I too now yield myself. Again, I'm not the sacrifice, I am the libation offering. It's powerful. Jesus calling us to that, to say, so Paul says, I'm ready to be poured out. Ready to be poured out. Wow. I don't think this is a matter of, it's not a case of do more, work more, love more, care more, pray more. I don't think it's a matter of God saying, okay, I want you to pour your life out so that you can, no, I don't think so. It's not do. It's be. Simply to come. And Lord, I'm not signing up for anything other than to say, I love you. I really love you. And I give my life as an offering to you. Whatever you want, that's fine with me. Because as long as I know that you are in control and my life is surrendered to you, I don't need to worry about anything else in this world. And that's just the absolute truth. So it's not a case of working harder. I don't know what store it was in, but it had this poster, and it simply said, look busy. And I thought that could have added, look, Jesus is coming, look busy. But look busy. I don't know what that looks like, but I kind of get it, and I certainly get it in the light of where sometimes say, okay, I guess the Lord wants me to work harder. I guess the Lord wants me to do more. And no, he's not happy that you're burning out. This is a gentle thing. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If the burden that Jesus is putting upon you here this morning, if it's not light, it's not his. Because he says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Okay, Lord, then we'll take you that as true. So it's not do, but to be. And because of that, then I will do through you. Because you have yielded yourself to me, now I will do through you all that I want to do. So it's a surrender. It's a case of hands up. That's really what it is. You know, if you're going down the alley, some of these places that Wesley was telling us about, not the best place at 1 a.m. perhaps to go through, as he's indicating. But if you're walking down there, I'm sure if he felt something in his back, and says, give me all their money. What does one normally do? Okay, no problem, right-hand pocket. I'm not going to die for a dollar. Right? You surrender, you raise your hands. Everybody, you know, you're under arrest. We raise our hand. That's what he's saying today. You're under arrest. You're under arrest. And It's not time to put my hands in the pocket. I say, okay, here I am. I yield myself to you. So it's a case of hands up and letting go. Let go of the control of your life. I know why. I do know why. It's because of fear that we don't surrender all. Why else would there be? I can't think of any other reason except for fear. It's afraid of letting go, afraid of that, afraid. Well, there's lots of fears. What a moment that when we sacrifice all that we know about ourselves. So Paul says, I present your bodies as living sacrifice. Now, I'm not quite sure. Maybe you can help us at the discussion time, but I'm not quite sure why our bodies. You think maybe your heart, your mind, your will. Well, I guess he does talk about your will. But he said, you present this loveliness about you, all that you know about me, just surrender. And I say, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to give all of me to you. Okay, and there's various reasons for that. So we put ourselves on the altar as this living sacrifice, letting go, presenting our entire reliance. Here is my body. Here is my body. I guess because that's where we function out of. I presume that's why. Can you think of a reason? Of why would it be our bodies? He said, present your body. I presume we can present our minds and our will and everything else. But what Paul is saying, he says, don't present your body as a living sacrifice. So we put ourselves on the altar, God's altar, as a living sacrifice. Letting go. Oh, how scary that is. Salvation wasn't scary. All sinners who would like to know they're forgiven put their hands up. Yes. And we got in, and Wes got in. We all got in. It was the simplest thing in the world. It was the best offer we heard ever. That Jesus loves us. In totality, he loves us. Died for us, forgiven us all, and would we receive it? And we presented ourselves in salvation. That was the simplest part. But this further where I'm being poured out now, it's something different. It has a certain bit of a fear to it, but I must not let the fear control me, because there's a lot of scary things in the world that are, right? I mean, if you worry about yourself, there's a lot of things in the world. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, we let go and we surrender each day, trusting him that he's got everything under control. So we present our entire reliance on him. And I wrote a statement, I think it was point number four, that have faith in the faithfulness of God. Have faith in the faithfulness of God and not in your own faithfulness, which is sketchy at the best. Not in your own faithfulness. It's his. Whenever I have yielded myself to him, even a little bit, he has always come through with great assurances and confidences that I did the right thing. I have never said yes to Christ that it came whooshing back to me. That, oh, what a good thing. In other words, never be afraid to present yourself to Christ. He loves us. He cares for us. He's crazy about us. And so we hold back saying, I took the first step of salvation. Now the second step of consecration, the second step of yielding myself to a Savior who I love, but yet I hold back. How could it be? I must trust him. I must have faith in the faithfulness of God and not in my own faithfulness, because that's unreliable. And so I made a little note here. Lord, I'm afraid of commitment. There, now I've said it. Now, I'm afraid of commitment. That what would happen? What if I start? What if you start, but you don't finish? You skid off the road. What if I couldn't make the go of it? What if I declare that I belong to the Lord and next thing I'm in you know, I'm far from the Lord? Mm-hmm. These are good questions, right? These are things that go through our mind. We're afraid, we're fearful that somehow we'll start and not be able to finish, that we'll look stupid. They said, I thought you were committed to Christ. Well, I guess apparently not. See, and so I don't make a commitment. I kind of, you know, the years go by, weeks go by, months go by, years go by. And he said, have you surrendered fully? Not really. Because I'm afraid. And so now thus the process begins. I'm afraid that I might have to go to Africa. Val and I, we joke about this. I said, why don't we go live in Africa? And she says, you know, I'm going to miss you. I'm gonna miss you. In other words, I'm going alone. That's not her first calling. I said, well, you were born in Ireland. Maybe we can go to Ireland. So our fear of surrender. Think about it. What is it that keeps you from going flat out to say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours. And so we do, at number five, we do what Oswald Chambers told us to do. This was his motto through his whole life. This was his motto. Trust God and take the next step. And of course, the question is, what is the next step? He was convinced that it would, once you had faith in God, the next step is always there. It's never not there. I mean, what if I get there? There's not a second step. There will be a second step. Our job, we got to take a step and trust God for it and see what will happen. One time they were going over from Egypt to Japan, and his wife said to him, what are we going to do? What are, you know, all the meetings were set up and all these work that we're supposed to be doing. And he said, no, we'll just trust God, take the next step. But what is the next step? She said, what is it, Oswald? What is the next step? He said, I believe it's time for me to take a nap. He spread out the deck chair and he fell asleep on the deck, and he woke up, and something had come to him about contacting a particular person. And of course, that's how it all worked out. For him, the next step was simply to have a nap. But there's the next step. But it's only a step at a time. There's not these giant steps you have to make. It's just, Lord, today I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to take. So what would it be? What would the next step be for you, for me? Trust God. Take that, knowing that all of us are probably afraid of some level of commitment. We're afraid to say yes, in case it doesn't work out, in case I look foolish. But here's the good news. God is in charge. Is he not? You got to settle this right. God, either you're in charge or I'm in charge. We can't both be in charge. Although we've had to run our lives that way. God is in charge. And tomorrow is in his hands. Tomorrow is in God's hands for your life. It will unfold. There will be things to do. And I've, over the years, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 3, this has been a vitamin C verse. This is a real Bethel for me. I've gone back to this Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 so many times, over and over again. It's like Jeremiah 29, the plans I have for you. Remember that? How many here have ever quoted that? Yeah, almost everybody in the place. Because we said, Lord, do you know, is it all working out? The plans I have for you, are they not plans to help you and hinder you, and to, you know, help you? That's the power. Anyway, Proverbs 3 is kind of like that. Let me read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Boy, that's a kicker. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Wow. Just acknowledge him, trust him, that whatever is coming down the pike, it's a good will. How do I know that? Well, there's a path for every child of God. And if you yield to him, you won't be left on the side of the road wondering what happened to you. You will be in the dead center of his will. You will be blessing people and encouraging people. And hey, by the way, a lot has to do with people. As we just get busy helping people. Don't be so concerned about God's plan for you. Just get busy loving people. And that as you do that, God somehow mysteriously, wonderfully looks after your business. Look after God's business, and he'll always look after your business. Always. And that's been my testimony. I can honestly say that. So God's will, that you may know the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12. Again, I'm quoting from that again. God's will is the best will ever. It's the best will ever. You say, well, I'm not so sure about God's will for it. Don't listen, you can't improve on this. God has a will for you, and that's why he saved you. He didn't save you just to get you to go to heaven, although that's a good thing too. He saved you that you would be on this path and fulfill his purposes by your obedience, by my obedience. Just to be obedient to God and say, okay, God, let's do it. Let's come on, Holy Spirit, let's go. Let's use me, Lord. Just use me. Yesterday I was chatting with a fellow, and he said to me, he said, you know what I've discovered that really made my life has been really good? He said, every morning I tell God that here I am, I'm available to him. So whatever I do today, bring people to me and surround me wherever I go, just do that. And I said, and how is it working? He said, you will hardly believe. As you say, the secret is presenting your day to God. Just present yourself. And he says, then I let God bring who he wants to bring. So we're saying is, let God engineer. Make sure you're not engineering. Make sure God is engineering. And I wrote this, that whenever we begin to calculate without God, we commit sin. I'll say that again. Whenever we begin to calculate without God, we commit sin. And so be absolutely his. Totally his. There is the haphazardness of the will of God. It's a bit, you kind of wonder what the Lord's doing. Many of us, we had to say, I don't know what God's up to. I don't know what he's up to, but I'm going to trust him. And so that's the haphazardness of the will of God. And God uses scripture, and God uses people, and God uses circumstances. And the secret, of course, and I don't need to labor this anymore, the secret is leave everything to him and tell him that. I'm leaving my family with you, Lord. I'm leaving my in-laws with you. I'm leaving my job with you. I'm leaving it all with you. As much as I know that I'm doing that, that's what I'm trying to do, is leave it all with you and not to take it back again and worry about it yet again. So that's the power of that. Oswald Chambers one time said, he said, be carefully careless. That's what he said. Be carefully careless of it all. So there's a radicalness of it, but there's a carefulness to it, but just be carefully careless. I understand that. So wait upon the Lord and see what our great God will do next. Who will he, how will he use you? I think there's probably very different ways. I don't think there's just one way. I think there's lots of ways he will use you. As I look across here, I know most of you, not all, but I know most of you. And I know that your heart's desire is to please him. Well, I can't see it being anything, but it's going to turn out really good. Because a church full of committed people, how powerful is that? Even tonight and on next Sunday night, we're coming to present ourselves to God. Say, God, we want to be fully filled with your Spirit. We want a church that's Spirit-filled as well. So we're coming to wait on the Lord. But the Almighty is in control, and he will make his way plain, and he will make his way clear for us as we're on the way. They were even, actually, you know what the early Christians were called? People of the way, capital W. And I'm one of those, and you're one of those. Now we have this tremendous, exciting moment in our lives where God says, give me all of you. I think he's saying that now. I don't know what stage you're in, but I don't think it's just the calling on my life. It's a calling on our lives. And as the Lord begins to shape you and use you, and it's very, very powerful. And I, you know, when I get, see, whenever I start feeling fearful and a spirit of fear comes, boy, are you out of your mind? And I say, Lord, don't let the enemy rob me of what you want to do in my heart and my life. I have no doubt in my mind that Christ saved me for a purpose. So each day of my life, as you are, we present it, we take another step, say, trust God, take the next step, trust God, take the next step, trust God, take the next step. And not to be afraid of taking it. Let the Lord work a work. It might be in your career. It might be with a neighborhood, someone in your neighborhood. But there will be this great opportunities because someone who's fully open, you know, say, Lord, I want all that I know about me, I give to all that I know about you. And to that end, here I am. I'm here as Romans 12 tells me to be. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Wow. And that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. What's it perfect? It's perfect for you. You can't improve on this thing. Remember that. If you think you've got a better plan than his, I don't think so. He's got a glorious plan for you. And he'd love to, I know, reveal that to you. So, amen. All right, we got a little bit of time left. Yes, we do, about 5 minutes. So, what comes to your mind when you think of what did you hear? Kind of the takeaway part of today, this morning. What did you hear for you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, good, very good. Somebody else. Maybe it doesn't have to be very spiritual. Maybe you're struggling with something about this will of God thing, and that would, Margo. Yeah, is that today? Wow. Yeah, no, you don't. He will provide the words. Thank you. Somebody else?
For me, surrendering is hard. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
I wonder if this is maybe where we come alongside each other to encourage each other, because knowing our nature, that we're easily get off track and say, how did I get over here? I started over here with my heart's desire. Now I'm over here. So I think it's common what you have when you struggle. I think it's, as Carl's nodding, it's, Carl, what's your thought on that? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Likewise. One more. Just struggle or joy. Yeah, Rex.
Fortunately, I've seen Stephen surrenders in his hands. He uses a passive right pastor in the community. He's working in as a little bit. He's the author of Finch Your Heart.
Is that maybe then in the light of that, that's who he simply says, therefore present yourself. I've got it under control. I've provided everything that you need. Now just yield yourself. So in the yielding is the secret. That's the only, it's not a work because it's not do. He's already done it. It's us just saying, in the light of that, I present myself. Knowing that you have to fill in all the gaps. God has to fill in. Yeah, good word. Was it? So do you think we grow in this thing? Do you think we... Yeah, yeah, it's scary. That could be our t-shirts. It's scary. Yeah, please, June. Joan. Yeah. Maybe you hit it right on the head. Just show up with your body and God says, I'll use you. I'll take it. Did I see one more in the way? If not, we do. Yeah. Mark. Yeah, thank you. Well, may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Please join us on the patio. The coffee's good. The weather's nice. All that's needed is you. Thank you.